Okay, next is now. Now, what is the next upasana that is discussed here? He uses the term, Upanishad uses the term chittam. See what you have, manaha, sankalpaha, now chittam. In regular language, we understand chittam as what? Chittam means memory, isn't it? So here, chittam in this context means correct understanding, knowledge or comprehension or objective awareness. See, for you to make a decision to judge correctly, you should have understood, no? Judgment or decision is based on your understanding. Isn't suppose even the judge, when he has to make the judgment, who is right and who is wrong, and he has to listen to both the cases of both the clients, and he has to analyze, and of the two, he should understand each case separately correctly, isn't it? He should understand both the parties, both the clients, both their cases, he should understand correctly. Only after understanding both the cases, he can make his judgment. He has not understood the case at all, how can he make a judgment? Who is it, who is wrong? So decision now is possible. Oh, this is appropriate, this is inappropriate. You make a judgment of what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. Then make a decision to do the right. So for you to be able to decide what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, you must understand first. So chittam, now next he is going to say, may you meditate upon this chittam as Brahma. See, chittam here actually means what? Comprehension of the appropriate or proper understanding or comprehension of the thing, an object or a situation or a person. Isn't it? So, if I understand, before I make a judgment, I understand correctly. Then only I decide. So, understanding is important. And the understanding is implied by the term chittam here. It's a comprehension of the whole situation. Suppose the person, to make right appropriate judgment also, he must analyze, understand, isn't it? So all that, what all, Shankara says in his meaning, the commentary, he must remember what all the experiences he had before, and he should see the foresightedness, that he should know the future consequences also. And analyzing the future consequences, understanding of the future consequences must be there. Understanding of the experience of the past must be there. So based on that understanding of the future consequences and the past experiences, he can make a right decision and the present. Suppose now, okay, we should hold the classes here or not. This is how decision is made. We think of the past experience, we analyze all the past experiences. We think of the future consequences. Then we have a right understanding of the whole situation, understanding of the situation of holding the class. Then we make a decision, appropriate decision. Oh no, even if they chase us out, we will not go anywhere. We will see the Dilip ji and Nalini ji, and we will hold the classes here only. We'll make friend of Amma. No, right decision, appropriate decision based on my understanding of the past experience and the future, the consequences. The understanding is called right, appropriate understanding or comprehension of situations, people, things. Based on it only, I can make a judgment or I can make my decision. And keeping with the decision, I have a desire to act. So based upon my desire to act, I will involve my organs. I'll be doing things. Thereby, I'll have the benefit of my actions and the results of my actions. It's called a chittam. It's okay. So he is going to say, may you meditate upon this being aware of everything. Being conscious, being aware, comprehension, understanding, right understanding of the situation and things is called chittam. We meditate upon this chittam as Brahma. What is this right understanding? Correct understanding of the situations and people and things means what? That's also another antakkarna vritti. Understanding of situations also is what? Another phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought only. So understanding is superior to the sankalpa, decision or judgment. Isn't it true? And where does understanding happen? In what form? A thought in the mind only. The understanding is subtler than your sankalpa. Therefore, may meditate upon this chittam, right understanding as Brahma. Now, the Marco raised a question. You don't know Brahman. How can you meditate upon this as Brahman? Here, when I say meditate upon this as Brahma means, you do not know what Brahman is. Now, Upanishad is slowly, gradually taking you step by step to Brahman. The very purpose of practicing this meditation itself is what? For you to move on from one thing to much subtler thing. It will take you to the subtlest, then afterwards you cannot travel anymore. Shifting is not possible anymore, isn't it? So when you understand, suppose when you understand chittam, the right understanding or appropriate comprehension of the situation, in keeping with which you make a decision or judgment, and which becomes the cause of the very desire for your action. The desire is the cause of your action. The action becomes the cause of the results. The result is enjoyment of result becomes your life. Therefore, now from the standpoint of the life you have, in terms of enjoyment of the punya papams you have in your account, exhaustion of punya papams, enjoyment of results, which are the results of the actions, and the actions are results of your desires. The desires were the results of your decisions and judgments, and the judgments are decisions and result of your sankalpa. Okay, the sankalpa is decision, and that is because of what? Your understanding of the situation. Therefore, situation, which is the cause, means now from the standpoint of all these things, now this chittam, the comprehension, appropriate comprehension or understanding of situations, people and things is the cause. Isn't it true? Whatever is the cause, you look at it as Brahma. Now, at this stage, what is Brahman for you? You thought Nama is Brahma. Now, Nama, from there you have moved on to what? Organ of speech. Organ of speech to word sound to organ of speech. Organ of speech to the desire to speak. Desire to speak to decision to desire to speak. From decision you have moved on to what? Understanding of situation. Now this is the situation. It is what I should talk. Your judgment of what to talk, decision what to talk, your conclusion what to talk now is what now? Because of the your correct, appropriate understanding of the situation or who you are talking to. And you know what is the subject of matter of talk? The situation, people, objects, isn't it? Therefore, that is very important. Therefore, that is now the standpoint of all of them. Relatively, this is the greater cause. At present, for you, what now? What is Brahma? What is reality for you? Chittam is reality. Chittam is Brahma. You don't know what Brahman is. At present, take it as Brahma. Okay, therefore what? Brahma, the chittam, in terms of right comprehension, because of which right decision itself is possible. Therefore, may you meditate upon this as Brahma. Is it clear? This is the fifth meditation. Chitta Brahma Upasanam. You have to exactly, you know, remember the meaning of each word. Don't take literals in the literal sense that we already understood as just the memory and all that. Then from here, he is going to say, is there something superior to this, even the right comprehension also, right understanding also? Yes. What is it which is subtler than, therefore more pervasive than, or greater than, superior to, even this very right understanding? Obtaining them of a thought, if you say, dhyanam. Oh, the word dhyanam literally means what? Constant, continuous flow of thoughts to the exclusion of similar thoughts, to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts. This is what is dhyanam. Constant, continuous flow of similar thoughts, the thoughts pertaining to the same object, to exclusion of dissimilar thoughts pertaining to different objects. Which means, being able to focus attention on a given object, one given object for length of time is dhyanam. That is the literal meaning. But in this context, when the word dhyanam is mentioned, here dhyanam means the focus, the concentration, the alertness. How can you comprehend something correctly if you are not focused, if you are not concentrating? Being the focusing the attention, remaining in a given thing for a length of time, focusing your attention, or being alert in a given situation is very important for one to be able to comprehend the situation and things and people properly. If we're very restless, we're not focusing, how can you comprehend? Suppose the two people come to the court. The judge, Chief Justice is sitting there. And the lawyer, or both sides, the lawyer, they are presenting their own arguments. Suppose this judge is not focusing on what they are saying. If he is not concentrating upon what they are saying, attention is not focused in what they are saying, understanding or comprehension of what is being said is not possible. Or I listen to one person clearly, why? I focus. Other person presents the case, I don't focus. Why? I am disturbed at the, and I make a judgment. That judgment will be what? The understanding is there, but not correct understanding. Improper understanding. improper understanding will result in improper decisions and conclusions, which will result in the impelling of the improper actions also. It will result in improper results. The consequence will be completely different. Therefore, for a person, even before even for him to understand the situation, so appropriate understanding, correct understanding, comprehension of the situations or things or people or objects is possible only if the person is capable of focusing on anything for length of time. So being focused in a given situation or on a given thing or a given object is called what? Being focused also is what? Manasam karma, isn't it? The focus. It means being, you're alert. No time, you just get distracted. You are alert throughout, that you study the whole thing because of your focused attention, and you are able to comprehend correctly. So appropriate comprehension presupposes what? Being alert and focused. That alertness and focus, which alone can result in appropriate comprehension of the situations or things or people, is said to be superior to the very comprehension itself. Okay, that alertness required for right comprehension or the focus which is required for comprehension is mentioned by the word dhyanam in this Upanishad. So he is going to say, may meditate upon this dhyanam as Brahma. Why dhyanam is Brahma? What is Brahma? Brahman is the reality. Brahman is a term which he reveals, which implies the reality in terms of its nature of fullness, limitlessness, all pervasiveness. Reality is that which pervades everything. So you understand basically, what is reality? That which pervades in and through everything is reality. For it to pervade everything, isn't it? That's why it is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, simple with the term Brahma. Now, you do not know what Brahman is. You start from the wordy word. Okay, Shabda, word is Brahma. Why? All that I hear here, all that I hear, all that I see, all the objects perceived through all the senses are what? Objects. Objects are, where are the objects? Can there be an object without a word? Every object has a word, indicated by a word, which is a name of the object. Chair is a word which is a name of a given object. Therefore, meditate upon all the words. Objects are inseparable from the words. Therefore, all the words are superior to the objects. Words are Brahma, reality, because words pervade the objects. The word wave pervades the form wave. The word chair pervades the form chair. Hope you understand pervasiveness. Now, we therefore may meditate upon the Nama as Brahma. Now we say, come on, what is the word? What is the word? All the forms are in the words and words are where? The words, if they are not expressed, they would have remained in the form of what? Thoughts. They don't make any sense. Unexpressed word, obtaining in the form of a thought, does not convey anything. Therefore, we say what? Organ of speech, because of which alone the thoughts can get translated into words, can get expressed in the form of words, is superior to words. Therefore, what is superior? What is that? We look at everything as a cause. Now, organ of speech is like the cause. words are like the effects. Why? Without the organ of speech, there cannot be expression of words. Therefore, words are as good as the effects, organ of speech is as good as the cause. If the organ of speech is like the cause, words are like the effects. And you can understand, always cause alone pervades the effects. Effects are pervaded by the cause, but effects cannot pervade the cause, isn't it? Therefore, which is superior now? Which is more pervasive? Cause is pervasive of the effects. Therefore, now organ of speech is what? Vagindriyam is superior to the very words. Therefore, Vagindriyam is the cause. Vagindriyam is all more pervasive. From the standpoint of the words and the objects indicated by the words, Vagindriyam is what now? Superior, because of its more pervasiveness. Now we say what now? Therefore, may meditate upon is Vagindriyam as Brahma. In Bhagavatam, this Prahlada young boy, not Prahlada, sorry, Dhruva, it's a young boy. There's so many stories, okay? One story is Dhruva. And this boy, you know, was chased out of the stepmother chased him out, okay? She didn't allow him to sit on his father's lap. And this boy comes crying to his own mother. The mother tells, "Don't worry, my child. You know, what is this big, your dad's lap? Don't worry. You know, there's absolute, we have a father of all the fathers, Bhagavan. He's the father of all the fathers, Narayana. You can sit on his lap. You know, don't worry, you can sit on his lap. He's the father of all the fathers." This boy becomes very serious. Okay, he is so now that the problem is he is afflicted by the pain of the sense of smallness. I am unwanted for my father. I am unwanted. That is the problem, isn't it? So I want to sit on this Narayana's lap, Bhagavan's lap. So where is Bhagavan? Where is God? Where is Narayana? He's asking. The mother casually said just to put him to sleep. But she didn't know that he was such a adamant child. And she was asking, "Where is Narayana? I want to see him. I want to go and sit on his lap." How will the mother make the son understand? How can she make him understand who Narayana is? My God, Narayana is the whole Jagat. How to make him understand how is Bhagavan is a concept to be understood? Understanding the concept, understanding who Bhagavan is, the resolving one's individuality in totality called Bhagavan, that is what is being having a cozy life, isn't it? Being seated on Bhagavan's lap. How can she make him understand? He thought literally like sitting on his father's lap, he can go sit on Narayana's lap. Now I want to see Narayana now. And he put him to sleep. Somehow he manages to get out of the house, walks on his own in the forest and jungle. And he doesn't know who Narayana is, no? Whichever comes, one tiger comes. He doesn't know who. Are you Narayana? The tiger goes. Lion comes. Are you Narayana? Are you Narayana? Whatever he sees, he's a baby child. Nah, he doesn't know anything. He's asking like that. And finally, he goes and Narada comes. Teaches him the mantra. Now you go and chant this mantra. Meet Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Meditate upon this mantra. Nana will come to you to see you. And he meditates and he contemplates and finally he discovers Narayana. He comes back as a person of vision of the truth, wherein all his pain resolved. Why pain gone? Apurnatam gone. The sense of inadequacy and smallness and I am unwanted. The notion is resolved. He comes as a Purna Purusha, as a person of fullness. And he is received with high respect and all. That's a different thing. Now what I'm saying here, until you arrive at reality, you take water, arrive at as what reality? So here you arrived at only what now? Only until this, okay, now Vagindriyam is Brahma. Then even the organ of speech cannot be functional. The word cannot come through the organ of speech. The desire to articulate happens. Let me speak. Desire must come. I do know sometimes now people call and talk to me. Sometimes even if you call them, they are not interested in talking. They quickly cut the conversation. You know why? There is no mood to talk. It happens for everybody. For us also. Sometimes we are very enthusiastic to talk. So, oh my God, I have to talk to this person. People don't like, I do hear people. That's why I never call people. I try to avoid. I don't want people make people feel bored. You know? If they have something, the pressure is that they'll call. If you call the others, they will be happy, they won't like to talk sometimes. Why? The desire to talk must be there, only then you will talk. So what is superior now? Desire. And where does the desire obtain? In what form does the desire obtain? Can you say desire is not there at all? Just because you don't see desire through physical eyes. Can you say there is no such thing called desire? Of course, desire is very much there. Desire to do something, desire to see, desire to hear, desire to talk, desire to do something must be there. It is very much there. And before, what is a desire? Or the will is what? A phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought, in the mind, as part of the antahkaranam. Antahkarana vrittihi. Shankara says, antahkarana vrittihi. This is a thought modification. And the desire is what? Superior to any organ of action, any karmendriya. And especially here, in this context, the organ of speech. When the desire rises to speak, Shankara says, vivaksha buddhihi, desire to speak. Then he also says, chikirsha buddhihi, the desire to do. The desire is superior. Isn't it? So, manaha vava bhoyaha. Vachaha manaha vava bhoyaha. The mind, this desire is superior to the organ of speech. Therefore, may meditate upon desire as Brahma. Manaha eva mano brahma upasana. Then he asks, so the subtler you become, what you meditate upon, so you become. You moved on your object, you are there as the meditator. The object of meditation is what? Now is different, much subtler thing. Therefore you also become much subtler. So you become more pervasive. And because therefore you become more popular and more recognized. That's the palam, he says. Okay, that palam you may not understand now. Okay. Anyway. Then he moves on to next one. The actual idea is, we are not interested in the meditation also. How he, the Shakha Chandra Nyaya, you should see. How you are taken from the grossest to the subtle, to the subtler, to the subtler, to the subtlest. Okay, that's also not there. Even for the desire, will the desire suddenly arise for something? Desire to speak or desire to do anything will not arise just like that. Desire to do something, speak something, will arise only if already the decision has been made, the judgment has been made, the conclusion has been made. In keeping the situation, what should I talk? What is appropriate to talk? Isn't it? Is it true or not? And the decision involves what? You distinguish the right from the wrong. Analyze right and wrong. Then you judge. This is what is appropriate to do. So the appropriate conclusion or decision or judgment based upon your appropriate analysis is what now? That alone makes you first to decide to do something. So what is subtler than the desire is the sankalpa. The mind is the sankalpa. And the sankalpa is what? Sankalpa also is another type of thought modification. Antakarna vrittihi. So sankalpa is also phenomenon, another phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought modification in the mind. Now without the sankalpa, desire is not possible. No, now from the standpoint of the everything, desire, you see, before you understood, you thought desire is superior. Now you see what? Why? Because without desire, action is not possible. Now you understand even the desiring is not possible if there is no decision or judgment. Like comprehension, isn't it? The decision is not. The word decision is superior in terms of the standpoint of the desire. Therefore, now may you look at this desire, the decision, the sankalpa, appropriate decision made out of appropriate analysis is a sankalpa, which is superior to the very desire. Therefore, you look at it as Brahma. Oh, this is what is reality now. Like Dhruva. Oh, no, not this is not the reality. It's another way of neti. Understand? When you ask the question, suppose knower known analysis, drip drishya viveka prakriya. Oh, I am the knower. That you understand finally. If I am the knower, anything known is what? I am distinct from anything known. Therefore, not only the anything external to the body is known. Therefore, I, the knower, I am distinct from the body. Different from the body. Therefore, the knower is not the body. Known body. The same way, another way of what? Oh, this is, I thought this is Brahman. From the standpoint, because without, why I made the conclusion first? Because you see, without this is not possible. Therefore, this is Brahma. I look at it as Brahma. Then again, that's why I ask. Narada asks, is there anything which is better than this, superior to this? Bhuyaha. Yes, sankalpaha manasaha bhuyan. Sankalpa is greater than the mind, superior to the mind. Then what is superior to a sankalpa also? A appropriate decision based on appropriate analysis is possible only if there is comprehension, understanding first of all. If you don't understand anything at all, how can you decide? On what basis do you make any decision? Based on your understanding. Isn't it? Any decision you make is based on your understanding. Isn't it true? That appropriate understanding, the comprehension of situations, people and things, based on your past experiences and your knowledge of future consequences. You have the understanding of the future consequences, your understanding of the past experiences. Is it true? That's why in our culture we always respect elders. You know why? Older the people, the more experiences they have, sometimes their decisions will be better than ours. Sometimes, I'm saying not always. They have better understanding of situations. Therefore, what is understanding? This appropriate understanding of situations involving the past experiences, the future consequence, etc., is also called what? Is also an, a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. Isn't it? Therefore, when the standpoint of the sankalpa, the decision or conclusion or judgment, what is superior is the comprehension. And where does the comprehension also is what a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought in the mind. Now the next question comes. He is asking, what is which is superior to the very comprehension, right understanding? A appropriate, right understanding, correct understanding of anything is possible only if you focus on any situation. I have understood the situation correctly. When can you say? Only when I am alert in the situation, I focus on the situation. My focus is not at all here. I do not concentrate at all here. Oh, I understood very well. What can I understand? Isn't it? Therefore, the focused attention, focus or concentration in a given situation, a given thing, a given person, the given anything is what? Very important, without which the comprehension is not possible. Therefore, now this is also, this focus also is what? The alertness also implies what? Again, a phenomenon, isn't it? Up to the moment of thought only. And which is superior to even the comprehension. Therefore, may you meditate upon this appropriate understanding or comprehension as Brahma. Now, how many have covered? Say no. Dhyana Brahma Upasanam. Then, Chitta Brahma Upasanam. Sankalpa Brahma Upasanam. Mano Brahma Upasanam. Vagindriya Brahma Upasanam. Shabda Brahma. Arama Brahma Upasanam. Now, how many had to go through totally, no? 10. 10. So, 15 mantras, 15 sections. Next class, we will finish all the Upasanas. In the following class, we will straightway go to Bhuma Vidya. Why I repeated this now? I like to take it soon. Because instead of reading the mantra, I want to tell you this. Because this is what you need to understand finally. The mantras, there's no papa full stop, there's no comma, we have, that is how Upanishads are. Anyway, I'll make you read again. I wanted you to read also definitely. I see that what all the words you need to understand, I'll repeat them. I'll make you repeat. So you see, I see that you all get those words. And last class I told you, when I saw you online, Atmavite Shokam Tarati. I told you to memorize that. Isn't it? The Bhuyaha, Bhuyan, Superior, etc. That is a different meaning. I will tell you later on. Something, what is important will make you memorize that. Is it clear? Now the question will come. He'll ask, now what is the benefit of practicing this meditation? Again, he is going to say, this person, whoever meditates upon this as Brahma, Sankalpa as Brahma, Chittam as Brahma, or the Dhyanam as Brahma, and the Palam is, he will go to Lokas, he will attain the Lokas. And which Lokas means what? Objects of enjoyment which constitute the world. You can say even higher lokas, which are not the ordinary world of mortals. Even the world of celestials he may attain. But those words will be what? Upanishad uses three adjectives. No? Dhruvan lokan. Pratishthitan lokan. The third he says, Avyathitan lokan. Dhruvaha lokaha means the words which are firm. Firm means what? They're permanent. The question should come immediately what? Are there permanent words? We've understood all these days, we've been understanding it. What have we have been understanding? That what? There's nothing which is permanent. So how can I talk about the permanent words? Relatively permanent. Relatively eternal. Which enjoy much, much, much longer existence than the objects of this world. So relatively eternal, relatively permanent worlds this person will enjoy. Which means the objects of enjoyment he will enjoy there will be for much longer time than what objects which he enjoys in this world now. Suppose, imagine if you enjoy some, if you go to ice cream parlor, buy ice cream and eat in your dream. You have pleasure, object of pleasure. You have dream object, dream ice cream parlor, you dream driving, dream money, dream friends, you dream everything. You enjoyed or not? Enjoyment of pleasure of eating an ice cream parlor, driving all the way and all that. How long does it exist? As long as you're in sleep. Finished, okay? You wake up, you'll be sitting grumpy, with the brushing and stinking mouth. Where is ice cream? Nothing around. Isn't it? Relatively, so what? Really, when you, after brushing and after everything, you really drive down to the ice cream parlor and buy an ice cream and eat. That's different, isn't it? In the same way, as a result of meditation, a person happens to enjoy some objects which last much longer, which are more eternal, relatively permanent than, more permanent than the objects of this world. Impermanent. So called Dhruvan Lokan attained. Not only that, those words are permanent, won't be uncomfortable, be very, very comfortable, comforting. Which means he will have in the world all that he needs for his life to be comfortable. All the comforts he will have, the comforts will be luxury only if the person also, what now, is capable of enjoying the comforts available. Comforts are available, but I'm not in a position to enjoy the comforts means still doesn't make any comfortable being comfortable, isn't it? So he will be comfortable to be able to enjoy the comforts available. Thereby he will have the worlds also comfortable worlds, and where he can have a comfortable life. That is Pratishthitan Lokan. Then one more thing is Avyathitan Lokan. So nothing in that world will cause any pain to him. So this world of affliction free worlds, painless worlds. Nothing in the world will cause any affliction. And not only in the world, his own body, his own mind, his own organs will not cause any affliction to him. Is it clear? See, one's own and external world, both he'll have conducive. Everything will be appropriate. His own and then the world of objective universe also. Everything. Therefore, affliction free, painless means what? So we can say ध्रुवान प्रतिष्ठितान अव्यथितान लोकान ही अटेन्स एंड हिमसेल्फ रिमेनिंग ध्रुव प्रतिष्ठित अव्यथित himself is affliction free, himself will have all the comforts, himself what now, he'll be hale and healthy, and himself will live relatively eternally. Is clear? This is the relative result of the meditation, relative karma. Nothing is absolute here, isn't it? The whole understanding of the relative is to arrive at the absolute. The meditation is relative. The result of meditation is relative. And a comparison also is possible within what? Only within the relative world, within the relative objects, comparison is possible. One is greater, one is more superior to the other, greater than the other, one is inferior to the other. This comparison also between the objects within the realm of the relative world only. And all this analysis is ultimately for what? You mistake the relatively superior one for Brahma. When you are ignorant of the relatively superior one, you mistake the relatively inferior one for Brahma. Isn't it? See, superior, inferior, the distinction or difference is possible only within the relative world of objects, isn't it? You mistake the relatively inferior one for the superior absolute. Then you move on from that to relatively superior, relatively superior, relatively superior. And finally you arrive at the absolute. In absolute, there is no superiority or inferiority. There is no comparability. There is no divisions and differences. Why? There is no second absolute. Absolute means one, secondless, non-dual. Therefore, comparison is not there. You arrive at it. And that is the most abstract. That is the subtlest. So you are traveling from, cognitively, from the grossest to the subtlest. Why you take this as Brahma? At this level, you look at it as the reality. Why? That much only we know now. This is superior to that. Do I see this as Brahma? Nothing wrong. This is of course Brahma. Even though Brahman is not this. That is why meditation is effective. Even though it is selective, that is the selective result. And apart from that relative result, if it is Nishkama Upasanam, I practice this meditation ultimately to discover the absolute. I'm not interested in the enjoyment of the result of this meditation. If you say, that becomes your Nishkama Upasanam. Meditation practiced without the attachment. Practicing meditation with the attachment means what? With or without, whether you expect or not, do not expect, result is definitely there. If you are not dependent on the result of meditation for your accomplishing your end called moksha, then your meditation is Nishkama Upasanam. If you want, okay, if you are dependent on the result of meditation for your happiness, taking it as an absolute, then it is the Sakama Upasanam. So, of course, definitely, this practice of this meditation, understanding of this very teaching, the journey, cognitive journey from the grossest to the subtlest, going through subtler ones, serves as a discipline. Definitely, it contributes for mental purity, mental steadiness, expansion of the mind, thereby the subtler the person mentally and more contributive his actions will be, the more recognized he'll be, more pervasive he will be. So, this is the idea. Now you got it? Have you answered your doubt? It's part of the teaching. The answer to the doubt is part of the teaching only. I must have done it earlier. I wanted to wait for the whole thing to happen. Is it clear now? Now the mind itself, you have seen this now. Manasyanam sankalpaha chittam dhyanam. The mind itself, we are going from what? Subtle to the subtler, subtler to the subtler. Isn't it? The rest we'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.